Cheers.
Cheers.
Once again.
Oh, no, I kind of vote to move to this recording time because we've been having cocktails.
Cocktails and mocktails, you know.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody that's doing, I mean, it's not January, but dry. You live your life dry. Okay.
Right. You know what? Hashtag you. I love you.
Not hashtag.
It couldn't be for me. I'm sorry. I love a little libation. Love a libation and a strong libation. Like I will go sit at a bar.
Right.
And get a craft cocktail. Yeah.
The issue is that mocktails are too expensive at restaurants and bars. Oh, I will say that. Why am I paying?
Literally the same price. They're the same price. Yeah.
Now, do y'all remember? Okay, throwback with me. Circa 2021. No, 2020. Down where Anthony lived, we moved him in. We work at his band camp. Or was that 21?
21.
And we went to that wine bar the first night that we got down there, up in one of the villages. And we got us a little flight. Do y'all remember that?
Yes. What about?
Okay, I remember that. Anthony over here looking like he don't remember that.
Well, I'm trying to figure out where this leads to.
Oh, I was just saying throw back to that.
Oh, I thought, girl, we're talking mocktails. Anthony being like,
I'm confused with the story, but also like I need to re-jog my memory. I took you to a wine bar.
Yeah, it was in that first place you showed us.
Was it in the villages?
I think we just got done with Bluefin, and we ate that best Caesar salad I've ever had in my life.
Oh, the Caesar salad at Bluefin in the villages. If anybody listens to the podcast, you're traveling down to Florida or to Orlando specifically to like Disney World, stop in the villages. It's the Wildwood exit. If you coming down 75 and about to get on the toll road, stop in the Wildwood exit, go to the villages, and I forget what that town square is called, but Bluefin Restaurant, the best Caesar salad
ever
I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. But there was a wine bar over there. I remember this because I was like, oh my God, it's summer. We're living our lives. We just stroll into a wine bar.
Mm-hmm. I need to go look at my pictures and see.
I remember that.
Because we almost went back when it started raining on one of your days and we canceled band camp early.
Like, I remember this going to a wine bar, but it visually, I cannot remember where it is. I took y'all many places.
Yeah.
Because, like, there was a winery that I took y'all to.
Lake Ridge.
Shout out Lake Ridge. But yeah, I mean, no shade, no tea. I try to block those days out.
See, but we're talking about good memories of those days.
That's true.
Honestly, and that's where we're leading. And that's where we're leading today. We're talking about the positive things that are happening in all of our lives. And we want y'all to share with us what's happening positive in your lives as well.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. With so much going on, and we should also focus on all the good that's happening. Because there's a lot of cute stuff going on right now, too.
Girl.
There really is.
Amen.
But I'm excited for all the good things that will continue to happen as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Michael, you just was at the Allstate events in the Georgia Music Educator Association Peoples.
I was. It was a cute little weekend. I went and supported the conductors that I knew, and I had about 7 kids make it. So it was a record high in my personal studio.
Bravo.
So I was very happy, and all of those kids were extremely happy. They loved it. They had a great weekend. I got to see them perform, you know, to have lunch with a couple of people, have dinner with some people.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. And another thing that happened recently, by the way, y'all, if y'all see me on social media, I've been so bad about sharing things recently because I've been like so in the trenches. So a couple of good things that happened is I was awarded the AFM Atlanta Music Educator of the Year for 24-25.
Oh,
so shout out AFM for giving me the award.
Uh-huh.
And shout out student who wrote the paper to help me get the award. Then also I'm on an album now, girl. Discography,
What discovery?
girl. You know it's already in the CV. you can purchase this album, by the way, on Bandcamp. I don't know what Bandcamp is, but it's called A Final Year for President Lincoln, and it was by one of our composition faculty at the University of North Georgia, and it features like all like a lot of the faculty from our flute professor, euphonium professor, saxophone professor. I'm on it. I'm on the first track, so you can just listen to the
Oh,
first like
come on, shout out.
minutes.
Ooh.
So it was cute. It was different recording. Like, I'm used to a bunch of live performances, but this was the first one like going up in a booth, because mine was trumpet and electronics, so we didn't really need the whole hall. But going up in a booth and like laying down like certain tracks and this, that, and the third, and I was like, oh, this is how they do it. It was a learning process, and we recorded this. Oh, I recorded. Y'all know that cruise we went on last summer? I recorded this 4 days after we got off that cruise.
Love that.
So
Everybody
Friday,
go take a vacation. Take a
the 3 days
vacation.
leading up to it, woo, working out again.
Tears.
Love that. Love that.
Bravo to your album, your first ever like album and things. And it's always a really big, feat to have seven students be in the all states. I mean, that's a really big number for a private studio. Because all states, as we know, is not easy to get into. It takes a lot of dedication and effort and wonderful educators to be inspiring, encouraging, and for them to keep going. So it's just a kudos to you and to your students for the hard work that you put in.
Girl, they deal with me, so they deal with a lot. Y'all know that's right. Yes,
I'm
we
not gonna
do.
say too much because people
Oh,
always
thank you.
want to say me
Well,
Michael too much, so I'm not gonna say nothing.
say yay, Michael. Cheers, Michael. Yay.
That was
Yay. Yay. No, but you hinted on something cute though, like I mean, or something funny, because it's so hard sometimes to keep up with all what you're doing and to remember that like people want to celebrate you and people want to know what's going on in your life. And I know like some people may feel like, oh, I don't want to post online because I don't want people to feel like I'm bragging. There's a way to go about sharing your journey and what you're doing and the accomplishments and various milestones that you hit on your path without making it sounding like you're boasting about yourself. But also, like, sometimes I have friends who are like, yo, I did that. I'm like, yes, you did. Yes, you did. Like, you know what I mean? It's all about also, how you also interact with people in real life too. Because I know like social media can seem so distant from who people actually are, but like very often I try to make it where when people see my post, they're like, oh, this is something Lauren wrote. This is something that definitely Lauren like took the time to write out. She chose the pictures, all the things. And like, it's not jarring. Or that there's not like a dissonance between what I post and like who I am in person. And I think sometimes that is maybe the rub that I personally have. If I like know someone in real life and I see what they post on social media and there's a huge like big gap, some people want that. Some people are like, I specifically want an online presence that's very different than who I am. And like for that specific reason, that works. But I think I've talked to a lot of people who have been hesitant to share what they like wanted to online. Like, I want people to know what I'm doing, but I don't want them to feel like I'm bragging. You won't. If you're already saying something like that, you're not the people who do that.
Not the problem. No,
You're
it
not.
was weird. I remember I was talking to Lauren, like when, because one of my friends shared a po like one of the music stores I worked for made the initial post, and then my friend started sharing it, and then I remember people were like, Michael, why didn't you make the first post? I said, girl, I forgot. Because the minute after I got the award, we went straight to GMEA, and I was stressed about playing these notes without cracking them. That's what I was stressed about, and not looking crazy but in my purple pants. So like, we had different stressors. But I remember Lauren was like, "I'm not going to share this until you make a post." I said, "Well, I guess."
That.
And Anthony was like, "Michael, how dare you not make a post?" I said,
You know, it's always funny, especially people that like really, really are working. Sometimes you forget the things that you do. Like I always kind of have to ask somebody like, what have I done? And then, you know, Michael is really good at this. Michael will literally tell me my whole CV, and
Girl.
I personally have forgotten a lot of it because in my head, I'm moving on. Like, okay, did it. Let's keep going. Like, it's to the next. Just like Michael said, you know, he got the award, but then it was like GMA, and then he had, you know, a performance and this. So, like, for the person, life still moves on. Like, it's great, but I also think that we need to take that time to kind of sit in our accomplishments as well, so that we know we're not working too hard and get burnt out so quickly. We got to take that time. And I try my best now, but I still will forget. Like, I'm still like, what have I done? I don't even
Girl,
know, you know.
if y'all need to know, I got Lauren Anthony's CV over here up in my noggin. I will list off an accolade like crazy. Do you know
Same.
not to play with me?
See,
I can't, girl. So if y'all got questions right here, I got you.
can't do it. I
I've
can't.
already done it multiple times.
So, but the that just tells you you have good friends around you too.
Yes.
That is very important too, because your friends are like, sweetie, we know what you've done. Like, honestly, if somebody asked me about Michael and Lauren, I can tell you more about them than I can tell you about myself. If you ask me about me, I'm like, I just kind of show up. I just kind of show up. But if you ask me something about Michael Lauren, I'm like, yeah, you know, Lauren's over there in Seattle. She's doing her thing, the symphony. And, you know, she just defended a wonderful lecture recital. And Michael just did this. And he got all these students. You know, he's ripping and running. And kids is on top notch. He's playing with the Chattanooga and them. Like, you know, I can just rip it off. But you ask one thing about me, and I would sit here and be like, and being a teacher in the last part of the year, you go and have your evaluation with your principal, and they'll ask you like, so what did you do this year? And I usually just sit there and be like,
Shout out to kids.
I showed up, I clocked in at 8 and I clocked out at 5.
Girl, that's when you need to call your assistant. I got you. Call me on your manager. I'm your manager. I book the appointment. So, but no, this also leads a little bit before we go and celebrate Anthony and Lauren. I think having a good, like us meeting an undergrad and us celebrating each other all the time, even after bad performance, even after great performances, even after like hard days, long days, easy days. Like it was easy not to feel jealous of when one of us was winning because we all wanted the other one to win. But I feel like sometimes in music school, like some teachers do pit students against each other. Some schools just pit students against each other without even knowing it sometimes. Like they'll celebrate certain ones, but not celebrate them all. And it's just like you need to find your people that celebrate you no matter. They'll celebrate when you cracked a note so loud that they thought it was correct.
Sure.
Like, find somebody who just would celebrate you for celebrating you.
That's
Like, I
true.
remember one time I was doing this little, I had to memorize something for one of our concerts, and I did not have it memorized. And I'm telling girl, I had my glasses and I was playing right here. And these two were posting videos left and right. They just said, Michael's not about it. And I literally was laughing. I said, you know what? I did not want to memorize it. But now I'm gonna laugh and I'm gonna do it. But
Shout out
find your
Gabrielle.
people.
Shout
Great
out.
shout out, Gabrielle.
Septone Canzona to Septone Timmy number two, I think.
Shout out.
Girl. Woo! But find your people that will celebrate you and talk about celebrating. When this airs, I believe will be the day after Anthony does his first UIL.
Oh, yeah. No,
Which is
actually, when it airs,
the day
it will be
before.
UIL.
Oh, your UIL is Wednesday. For some reason, I thought it was Tuesday. But Anthony, these kids have been ripping and running on this music. They've already had two concerts on this music. And I was like, you had two? Jesus.
Yeah, no, UIL, just we're in the midst of contests and festival season. If you're in the band, the choirs, the orchestra lands in public school or charter or private, you know, that's kind of our state assessment. Yes.
What is UIL?
UIL is it's the University Interscholastic League, which is a big term in Texas. For the Georgia people that are listening, it's the same thing as LGPE, Large Group Performance Evaluation. Same thing for the Florida people, the MPAs, Music Performance Assessment. It is the concert and sight reading assessment here in Texas. And UIL, and what I have come to find out, UIL is not just music. UIL is basically the entire school competes in UIL. So football, athletics, all that stuff is under UIL. It's under UIL. There's an academic competition that's under UIL. So like anything that you do that's competitive or something like that is under the UIL umbrella.
Interesting. I did not look at us learning things today.
We learn.
It's a weird thing because I'm not used to everything being under one umbrella, but it is. It totally is. And that's how a lot of people get funding in schools and things like that. So my portion, which is the concert and sight reading, taking these little seventh and a couple eighth graders to UIL, majority of them is their first time going. So they're going to see how it is. And for anybody that has been through LGPE, MPA, UIL, it's a crazy season. I still remember the moments when I was a middle and high school student, and I remember my band directors used to be, they used to become a different person during that season. And I will say it is very hard for me not to be who I saw. Like I'm really trying my best, but some days, y'all, I want to go old school. I want to go old school because sometimes these kids be trying it.
Yes,
Okay.
trying.
Why are you missing this? Why are you still missing it? It is a natural, not a flat. You're not like, let's go down the line. Like, I really want to do that. But then it's like, we live in a different age now.
It's true.
I mean, I still remember being in high school LGBT season, and directors, when we weren't doing something, they would be throwing chairs or, throwing a stapler to the back of the room because they were upset because we wasn't getting something. It's like, you can't do that anymore. So, finding ways to motivate students to be their best is it's a hard and tricky thing to do, but here we go. They got to start now. And there's some things that you have to learn in this process to do. So I think it's going to be very interesting. But for me, I'm just proud of where the students started and where they are now, because it is a
Progress.
big difference. Like I remember when I first got there, I was like, "Woo, Jesus, who is going to make it there?" And so, but
Age and be flat.
A's and B flats. It's not even A's nor B flats. More like B sharps.
Ooh.
I don't even know how you get that answer, Jesus. And it still ain't a C. I mean, come on, come on. Let's get a right note. So, talking about, the good things of this process, you always have to kind of look at it from the angle of the students have to look at their progress through whatever timeline you set. Are they better than when they started? Yes. If so,
Yes.
you're on the good ones.
Good.
You're on the good ones.
What else happened recently, Anthony? That made you unreachable this weekend? On
Oh,
Saturday specifically and Friday?
I was just judging a little something. I mean,
Just judging for a distinguished young women's regional.
judging distinguished young women. If you don't know this group, please, I cannot shout this program out even more. But if you for the teachers that are in the that are listening, or if you have a daughter or a sister or a niece or something, there's this wonderful program which is in every state. It's called the Distinguished Young Women program, and it's actually a scholarship program. It is where these lovely girls around the 17, 18, they're about to go off to college. They take part of this program, and they do so much enriching. They go out and do a lot of community service. The foundation actually, kind of teach them how to speak in public. They teach them business skills. They teach them how to hone in a talent, a craft. And what they do is they compete in their local and in their state programs. And if they make it to be the state representative, they go off to nationals, which happens in Mobile in June every year. And then if you become the National Distinguished Young Woman, you represent that whole foundation. And like last year, the winner of the entire national event racked up about $44,000 in college scholarships that will go to any school in the country. And if you went state, you win thousands of dollars. So it just keeps going up. And when I say I judge for Texas, and the amount of talent and the amount of intellect that I witnessed from every single girl, it was such a hard decision to pick that final girl because they were all smart. They're all going to change the world and make it a better place. And I, oh my gosh, like seeing them talk, because part of the competition is an interview portion where there's five judges and you have 10 minutes. So we're asking everything from what does leadership mean to you? What is, the government is changing. How can, your generation still be in the know? And how can you influence others to continue to always make sure they're on the right side of history? And hearing some of these girls formulate an opinion and have backing points to it off the cuff. I'm sorry, when I was their age, I wasn't thinking about doing that. A lot of the girls was like, yeah, I've done this internship. I did two internships last summer, and now I'm doing three internships. I'm studying. One girl, she was like, yeah, I did a case study in Taiwan with I think it was wheat in Taiwan, and then I have a study here about kind of making, instead of taking a lot of land to make some type of vegetable, she's thinking of how can it be in a controlled environment so that you can reduce the land environment. I was like, you're 17. 17. What do you know what I was doing at 17, y'all? Let's move on. Let's
I
move
was
on.
now remember, I was barely pressing them buds on them trumpets, girl.
Okay, like it's to see them, they are going to lead the world. Every
Absolutely.
single one of them. For the ones that came that maybe didn't walk away with something, they walked away with something bigger than and greater than anything somebody could have gave them, which is their knowledge, which is their presence, and they are just the key to what we need right now. And that's what I love doing. I
Amen.
love doing that. So if you have any for high school directors that may be listening, if you have any girls that are you think are phenomenal that could really use either guidance or you're like they need something else and we really believe in them, find out where Distinguished Young Women program is, because it's very important. This year's winner of Texas, she was a wonderful viola player. She's been in region. She was in the TME All-State group. She played I forget what's the composer, but it was a concerto in A major. Like she just did it. But she was also so well-rounded because she wants to be a physician. So like it's all about giving back to this next generation. We have to do it.
before we go off to how smart Lauren is, this is actually going to allude to how smart Lauren is, how she's a academic and intellect.
Amen.
I had someone come talk to me today, said, "I just started your podcast." I said, "Well, thank you, girl. What season did you start on?" Because that's always what I ask him. I said, "What season? Was it the season I was munching all season? Was it after? Like, what are we
I'm
talking
so
about?" And
glad
they
you
said,
don't do that anymore.
"It don't mean much." So, anyways, girl, I remember them Subways were two. I was
Michael had a
like,
Subway in his mouth every episode.
But anyways, they started on season one and they were like, you know, we, they were like, "I enjoy this Wagnerism." I said, "It makes one of us." I
Ooh.
said, "Girl, that was Lauren and her big old brain pushing me and Anthony right through that book, baby."
First of
It was
all,
like a wet cardboard box being drugged through the street. Like, girl, woo-hoo. Because if someone asked me where to start, I always say season two. I said, "You can see the guest in season one. If you want to start and just get season two."
Except for that
Oh, we took that out.
Took it off. I think we
As
took
question.
off.
Actually, two guests. Actually, two guests that
Hey
I
man,
personally.
don't play with me, because hey, here's the thing. I just found out I can look at people's likes on Facebook and I'm ready to start a purge again. So let me go through these names again. Don't play with me. Because baby.
There's a couple in that first season. There's only two where I'm like, well, I know one is gone for a fact. The other one of these days is just gonna, it might be already disappeared. I don't know.
I wish we could go like whisper mode on the pod, where like, because I've already had Lauren do the off,
Redacted.
so we're not gonna do that again. But anyways, to talk about how smart Lauren is and everything, I don't know if Lauren has publicly announced this or she said it on the pod recently, but Lauren recently, you know, wrote something while she was doing her dissertation and a lecture recital that got accepted somewhere. So, Lauren, you want to take this away?
You know, any opportunity to talk about Beyonce, I'm there. Let's just start off by saying that any opportunity to just speak on her and what she is doing, I'm there. So, I think I've talked a little bit about, there is a class I took like last quarter that was like called like authorship, music authenticity and the self and like authorship. And it was this class that, first of all, what is that? I had no idea until I got into it. Basically, it's all about like what the authenticity of like music itself, and like that can mean like the correct composer, because very often in music history you talk about how especially female composers had to write under their brother, husband, father's names, whatever, because they wouldn't be considered serious for publishing music and all this stuff, and how we are just now properly re like attributing music to the right composers. And also authenticity in the sense of like, does this make sense for this person to write this, or like does genre belong to a person, or like is it authentic that this person wrote this? We kind of touched a little bit also on this last week within like composition. We were talking about having that whole conversation about people writing music from other cultures outside of themselves. But also authenticity talks about copyright law and like how all that goes, and plagiarism within music, etc. So anyway, so that's a little bit about music authenticity. So for the class, our final was to write a paper on those themes, but it could be anything, right? And this is around the time when Cowboy Carter was still hot, like in talks, especially around award ceremonies for categorizations, because people are saying it's not country. Even Beyonce herself in her Instagram post was like, "This ain't a country album. This is a Beyonce album." She says that, I think, as a bigger way of being like, we need to stop like wanting to push away from genre categorizations, but her still being active within the field of music and understanding how things work is still pushing from the inside of, that's why she, you know, submitted Cowboy Carter for country album, best country, which won, right? Which won for best country album at the Grammys this year. And my paper was on genre blending authenticity with Beyonce and Cowboy Carter. And It was really fun to write, first of all. Like, I mean, the opportunity to write an academic paper on Beyoncé, I'll take that opportunity always. But my professor, told us about a symposium, the Midwest Graduate Music Symposium, that is this year currently at or Ann Arbor, Michigan, University of Michigan. And it happened to be that the theme of the year was music authenticity. And so their paper submissions they were taking were on that theme. I submitted the Beyonce paper and she got selected.
Finger real quick. You were describing this class, girl, and I said I would have failed that.
Michael.
I was just like, oh my God, that's a lot of stuff to talk about. I said,
This.
girl, this is why I do not have the three letters behind my name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be.
But then we'll definitely be mad with your students in your appreciation class.
I would. You better listen to me when I talk now.
No, these classes, they're thick, right? That's my big thing with academia. And sometimes I feel like I'm like, y'all too thick for no reason, right? This class in particular, shout out Dr. Reese, because there was a lot of information he packed into that class, but it was so relevant and it taught me so much that I didn't even think about, didn't even know about. But I think it's just super relevant to know as a musician and everything. But also shout out to him for like helping me submit that paper and still being an advisor to me, like, as because reworking, usually very often, like you submit something for a class and you submit like for a different thing and you like change, zhuzh it up, right? Change it for a different audience as well. And so I'm just so thankful to have like been able to actually have a class mean something, because so often we go through academics and it's like, okay, I'll never use anything from that class ever again. And that's lame. That's awful. Like you just wasted like months in a class and you don't even care about it, right?
Was this class for you again?
Huh?
When was this class for you again?
This was a fall of last year, so like September through
So
December.
you working at the symphony. You're preparing your lecture recital. You know you gotta write a dissertation. And you write in this class. And you're like, let me write this paper and then submit this paper. This is too much, y'all. I can't do it. I said,
What's
this is why you
funny?
got the big brain. You got the big brain. Amen. You are
No.
the Tron of relative pitch.
No. I mean, honestly, y'all know I've been on this journey of trying to get this degree for a while, and it was just a personal mission of mine. And like the objective and why I've been getting it has always stayed true of just like I've always wanted it for myself. But usually people get DMAs only for academic purposes, but I have grown so much within my degrees where I'm kind of like it can be for academics and it can also be for other things as well. And I don't know, it's hard to call myself an academic. I still struggle with it, even being going through the academy. But anytime someone's like, oh, she's doing academics, and my I tend to not write that way. Maybe that I don't know. And maybe it was something that my mom said to me at some point, and someone else, one of my aunts, said to me that was like, I re read what you wrote, and I could actually understand what you meant without having been in the field and knowing what everything specifically is. So often my beef with academics is it's purposely and intentionally inaccessible to the widest range of audience. And I don't believe that's not how I believe academics should be. I believe learning is a tool for life and for understanding where we are, who we are, what we are. And anything that feels like a barrier to that is not genuine to who I am. And so very often I butt heads very it, like with my committee, who loves me and who supports me and who want the best for me and who understand what my personal mission is. But very often the most tension is between like me wanting to make sure people who are reading this can read it, because it's not just academics who read my stuff. I have family who have never like gone to college who read my things, and I want them to be able to connect with me in this specific way without me having to like explain it to them. Like I want them to be able to pick it up and read it themselves and go, I really, really enjoyed this. And obviously certain topics like maybe cellular biology and all this other stuff that's like really crazy STEMmy
Big
doesn't
brain.
necessarily make sense for something like that. The arts and the humanities make sense as something that you should be able to, it should be accessible to so many people. I don't know, I'll die on that hill.
I agree.
Well, Yeah, and I agree as well. And that's like, so the last chapter I teach in every semester of music appreciation is what is good music? And we talk about like the Pulitzer Prize. And a lot of the Pulitzer Prize winning pieces are these big highbrow pieces like Raven Chacon's Mass with Voiceless Mass and stuff. And then like Damn One. But when you read the description under what Damn like was described and how it won, it was written in a very highbrow way. And the same thing for when Blood on the Fields, the oratorio by Wynton Marsalis won. It's just like it's playing jazz in such a high brow art form, like mausoleum stuff. And I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, even if it is a highbrow piece, why don't we break it down? Because Pulitzer Prize is like something like, okay, a lot of people know what it is. So let's break it down in such a way that everybody can understand why this piece was chosen over these other two pieces or other, like through the hundreds of selections and nominations. It's always been a thing that has like irritated me, especially when I get to that part. I'm like, okay, everybody, I'm going to read this definition and tell me if you understand every word, because I don't. And I got 2 degrees and y'all still trying to get your first one. So let me talk about it. And then I read it. I'm like, who understood it? Not me, says the cat. So let's talk about it. And that's like, whenever people try to break down that barrier of just like, oh, everybody can understand this. I'm like, go team.
Yeah, I think it's still people want it to be separate. They want to divide and put in a category and say, okay, this is highbrow art. This is your regular, degular music. And it cannot be in between. It's either this or that. The other rising of music and of art is such a thing. And I feel like it's always been a humanistic downfall because it's kind of always have happened. Like there's always been, oh, this music has been destined to be, heard by the most trained ears. And then the music that's played in saloons or, back then, that is for every day, same thing with blues. And to a certain extent, like it's funny how jazz to me, it has both of those things in it. Like there's high art jazz that you're like, ooh, only certain people would get it, so it's exclusive. And then you have like your normal, like maybe your coffee shop jazz or something that's really soothing. And they're like, that's not real jazz. Well, what the hell is real jazz? What the hell is music? Who is music meant for? Where did that start from? And when you were talking about the Pulitzer Prize, it just begs the question, okay, if you're going to describe an album like Damn in very highbrow language, an album like Damn, which is literally laughing at the hierarchy of society, that entire album is a play off of that. But you're still just okay exactly what Kendrick was rapping about from the get-go, that no matter what, at the end of the day, somebody's always going to want to grab at the top and exclude the rest to the bottom.
So it's funny that you say this. So how Philip Glass defines music, I think, is amazing. Philip Glass defines music as the act of listening. If you think you're listening to music, then it is music. Hence why 4 minutes and 33 seconds.
It's true.
And then since we're on this, let me go ahead and pull up my little description. I want to read the Pulitzer thing for Damn, because I find it funny, and I'm probably about to trip over all these words, y'all, because I trip over them
Sound
in
it
functions.
out. Sound it out.
Y'all know I can't do it.
We got to get him sight words.
Not sight words. The official citation described Damn as a virtuosic song collection unified by its vernacular authenticity and rhythmic dynamicism that offers affecting vignettes capturing the complexity of modern African American life. I just want to say I read the hell out of that.
Michael.
I read that down. I was proud of myself. I read that down. I went to
Now, what
teacher
does that
home.
mean? What does that mean?
No, I'm gonna ask you what I asked my class. Who is this language for?
Not I.
I can tell you, they look more like you than me.
Ooh. Now the next question, what is its significance?
Justifying their own
The
choice.
people that wear them brown pants with them ugly square toe shoes, and their shirt is always untucked, always flapped over,
Disheveled, disheveled.
disheveled, be coming into class, just throwing their bags around, the music theorists, those people. That's what that language is for. Because to them, they need high language to give it significance. And that's my issue. That's my issue. Because if they were just listening to the album, they wouldn't find significance in the album.
Oh,
They
no.
had to have these the buzzwords, the vernacular of African American life, the
Oh,
rhythmic dynamicism.
the fuck? What does that mean? What does that mean?
I'm telling you, like, I remember I talked to someone that we all took a class with, and he was talking about he was preparing to write a paper about an album that just came out that was very popular. And I just froze and I said, oh. Have you listened to the album? Because he talked about one specific one. I was like, have you listened to the album? No. Oh. Have you listened to the body of work from the artist? No. So maybe you shouldn't write this. And what made me even more mad is I said, you know, because this is a Southern artist, the foremost Outkast scholar literally teaches at your same university. Have you talked to her? No. So this is great. I love what we're doing here. I think this is wonderful. Maybe let the people who care about this field write about this field.
And then just a little piggyback off of that. Yes, let them write about it, but also it's like a cyclical thing. No, the others won't take it seriously until someone not in the culture writes about it or profess about it, whether that's
Exactly.
on a stage or whether that's in writing, because people that are in the culture that A, like we can talk about certain music for a long time, but it would just be seen as more preaching to the gospel. To the gospel choir specifically, then something move changing. And that's my issue. That is my issue of how exclusionary this form is. And I know we're supposed to be talking about, the good things, in which it is a good thing because things are moving in a direction, whether some days I question if it's right or wrong, but we're moving in a direction and more genres of music, if that's the term that we want to use, is being talked about. One of the things that which I'm loving in the band world is that there's more pieces that reflect hip hop and soul and R&B. Like shout out Katash Copeley with Shea Butter Sweet that just was premiered by Ben Horn conducting. Those are the pieces that, like, for me growing up, that is the music that I listen to. Music by Marie Douglas, who's, infuses trap music from Atlanta with bands. Like, this is why I love that there's more spaces being there. But I also have to shout out somebody who is a true ally, who is doing the necessary like analytical work and putting it in the language that those other people need it to be, which is shout out Seth Davis. He's presenting his research on hip hop music at the CBDNA, in which I'm on the panel for. And every time I talk with him, I tell him, I say personally, thank you, because we can talk about this subject till the day we die. But for some reason, people that look like you will never hear us. So it takes someone that looked like you in a room full of other people that look like you for them finally to understand what we've been saying. And there again, there's a difference between appreciation and appropriation.
Right.
The difference is Seth said, I want y'all to talk about this. I'm here and I, you know, he has done a lot of the analysis of the music, which is great because for us, you know how, you know, if you're in the culture, it's like this is our music. Like a girl, you know, it sound like this, it do this, it go here, it go there. But from an outside perspective, the analysis, same thing, Lauren, that we talked about with your piece, how there has to be some type of analysis for it to be considered, you know,
Legit,
value.
right?
So he has done a wonderful job doing that, but he's like, I want y'all to speak. And there is the difference between an appropriation, because an appropriation, it would have just been a white man telling a room full of other white people how to interpret hip hop music alone. And not to say that white people, y'all might, you know, y'all be listening to hip hop music too. I get it, boo. I'm sure you do. You love Baby Down. You Meg Thee Stallion Down. I get it. Lil' Kim, Queen Latifah. You know, if you're in the 90s, you know, if that's you, that's you. But again, there's something different when it's truly like, this is the way I grew up and this is what I listen to. So remember that for everybody, there's a difference between appreciation and appropriation. There's a thin line to it as well.
Well, also say it did really piss me off when I left Kennesaw State University and found out that one of the foremost outcast scholars taught there the entire time. And that we never met her. And we had like musicology kind of classes.
Yeah, we did. We had a lot.
But
And I'm
then
like,
again, when did we ever talk about Outkast?
Again, that's another thing. Like, we had musicology classes that never talked about musicology, what we listened to on the radio. Like, and it's just like when I found that out, because literally, this is why it made me mad. I was up in a grad class and I said, oh, yeah, you know, I like Outkast, all this other stuff. I want to write about them. They're like, oh, so you must know Dr. Regina Bradley. You came from KSU. I said, who? She's like, Dr. Regina Bradley. I said, I don't know her. And she's like, oh, well, she taught at KSU. And I was like, and you, I got walked out of that class. I was so mad. You know, like when you ask for something, when your mama tells you not to ask for something in the grocery store before you go in, and you go in, and your mama's like, why did you ask for? I told you. Like, you know, that kind of mad. I
Yeah.
was so mad because I felt embarrassed in front of everybody in that class.
Here's the thing about it. It's not in that moment as a student, you should not be embarrassed, especially in an undergraduate setting, right? Because a lot of undergrad is, first of all, realizing how lacking some of your own professors' educations are. And that happened for a few of us. And a lot of that is not just their own like education of like, oh, do they know how to do music theory? Do they know how to do that? Education and like in the sense of like, do they even know who the people at their university, who their colleagues are? Because what you're talking to, the fact that we had someone who could have been speaking to, had their own class within the School of Music and been speaking about popular music in this way, that specific kind of music, and they were not invited in. I don't remember any symposiums, anything on those topics. And so when you, then it's like you get to grad school and you even learn what a college is. You don't have to just stay within your school of, you know, College of the Arts, Humanities, whatever. You can like, oh, you know, there's actually someone who studied randomly with this person I have a topic on who they're not in the same field, but they work together on a collaboration project and I could go ask them. Like there's just, it's a network, an endless network. And I think that's like, I'm excited that we are having these conversations so that if you're undergrads, high schoolers, whatever, and you're listening to this, be curious. Don't
Yes.
just stay within the bubbles that your school, your professors give you, because they give you a grid, right? They give you a plan and they say, stick to the grid, you'll graduate. And I know I understand that for so many of us, it's like we just have to graduate. That's all we want to do. And we don't want to look anywhere else outside of it. I get that. But you also don't want to go on to your next step And then someone's like, hey, that place you just came from that you were there for 4 years, do you know what was actually there? And you're like, no, I didn't,
I
you
did.
know?
And just like that.
And it's gone. The excitement, though, is that we're starting to learn these things at a younger age. I think that a lot there, it's taken a long time for the generations to catch up to where they're even at our age, we're acknowledging that there were gaps that we're now being able to fill within our professional lives and our, like, you know, later in grad life and everything else. And I think going back briefly to the Pulitzer like situation, and even talking about the Grammys and award ceremonies in general, I do appreciate, and because I guess in myself in a way is included in this, having conversations about more popular like topics. And when I use popular, I don't use it as a slur. I think sometimes in academics they be using popular as a slur. And when I say popular, I mean music that is relevant to a larger group of people and masses. Because that's not classical. Let me just say that right now. That is not classical. So, I think what there's conversations that people are having of like, do we even want a seat at the table? We should be making our own tables. And I think that that is something to for us to think about. This idea of like we're so busy trying to, you know, make something tangible for this highbrow group for them to even acknowledge things when we within our cultures, within our scopes, already know that it should be recognized for the work it is without having to say, oh, this triad here and the way that they use like harmonics here and all this stuff. You shouldn't have to do that. It is, we are currently within a system, unfortunately, that the people who are writing the checks, who are hiring, still function in this mindset of you have to earn your, those certain people, certain groups, certain genres have to earn their way into the academy to be taken seriously. I am excited for that to no longer be a thing. And I think we have to keep going for it. We have to keep pushing.
The only aside is I will be teaching these people about 16 carriages syncopation. I had my whole class clap it like 2 weeks ago because I just love that rhythm. It's just I've been a minute. I gotta go listen to it.
So sweet. So
Well,
sweet.
go listen to it. Everybody goes stream Cabo Carter and get ready for it. But, please leave a comment and let us know some of the good things that are happening in your life. I hate to bring this up because for some people it might be triggering, but we always used to do for the good of the order. I know that's triggering for. Ooh. And Michael is gone. For the good, and for real, for the good. Tell us something that is good that is happening. It could be something small, something big, something that you were hoping to happen. Let us know what you think. So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.